Mrs. Warren's Profession by George Bernard Shaw, with Anna Massey as Mrs. Warren.
I beg your pardon. Can you direct me to Hindhead View, Mrs. Allison's?
This is Mrs. Allison's.
Indeed. Perhaps. May I ask, are you Miss Vivy Warren?
Yes.
Oh, I'm afraid I appear intrusive. My name is Praed. Oh, don't let me disturb you.
Come in, Mr. Praed. I'm glad to see you.
Very kind of you indeed, Miss Warren. Has your mother arrived?
Is she coming?
Didn't you expect us?
No, my mother has rather a trick of taking me by surprise. She hasn't come.
Oh, I'm really very sorry.
It's not your fault, Mr. Praed, is it? And I'm very glad you've come. You are the only one of my mother's friends I have ever asked her to bring to see me.
Oh, now this is really very good of you, Miss Warren.
I'll get you a chair.
Oh, now do let me take that hard chair. I like hard chairs.
So do I. Sit down, Mr. Praed.
Thank you, my dear Miss Warren. Thank you, dear me. I'm so glad your mother hasn't spoilt you.
How?
Well, in making you too conventional. You modern young ladies are splendid, perfectly splendid.
Really?
Do you know, I have been in a positive state of excitement about meeting you ever since your magnificent achievements at Cambridge. A thing unheard of in my day. It was perfectly splendid, your tying with the third wrangler. Oh, just the right place, you know.
It doesn't pay. I wouldn't do it again for the same money.
The same money?
I did it for £50.
£50?
Yes. Mrs. Latham, my tutor at Newnham, told my mother that I could distinguish myself in the mathematical tripos if I went in for it in earnest. I said flatly it was not worth my while to face the grind, but I offered to try for fourth wrangler or thereabouts for £50.
Lord bless me, that's a very practical way of looking at it.
Did you expect to find me an unpractical person?
But surely, it's practical to consider not only the work these honours cost, but also the culture they bring.
Culture, my dear Mr. Praed. Do you know what the tripos means? Outside mathematics, I'm a more ignorant barbarian than any woman could possibly be who hadn't gone in for the tripos.
What a monstrous, wicked, rascally system.
I shall turn it to very good account, I assure you.
In what way?
I shall set up chambers in the city and work at actuarial calculations and conveyancing.
You make my blood run cold. Are you to have no romance, no beauty in your life?
I don't care for either, I assure you.
You can't mean that.
Yes, I do. I like working and getting paid for it. When I'm tired of working, I like a comfortable chair, a cigar, a little whiskey and a novel with a good detective story in it. Last May, I spent 6 weeks in London with Honoria Fraser. Mama thought we were doing a round of sightseeing together, but I was really at Honoria's chambers in Chancery Lane every day, working away at actuarial calculations for her and helping her as well as a greenhorn could. Now you know the sort of perfectly splendid young lady I am. How do you think I shall get on with my mother?
Well, frankly, I'm afraid your mother will be a little disappointed. You are so different from her ideal.
You mean her ideal of me?
Yes.
What on earth is it like?
Well, now, your mother's life has been, I suppose you know.
Oh, don't suppose anything, Mr. Praed. I hardly know my mother. I have been boarded out all my life. My mother has lived in Brussels or Vienna and never let me go to her. I only see her when she visits England for a few days. Don't imagine I know anything about my mother. I know far less than you do.
In that case, but what nonsense we are talking. Of course you and your mother will get on capitally. What a charming little place you have here.
Rather a violent change of subject, Mr. Praed. Why won't my mother's life bear being talked about?
Oh, you and she will have plenty of opportunity of talking about it when she comes.
No, she won't talk about it either. However, I dare say you have good reasons for telling me nothing. Only mind this, Mr. Praed. I expect there will be a battle royal when my mother hears of my Chancery Lane project.
I'm afraid there will.
Well, I shall win because I have no mysteries to keep up, and it seems she has. I shall use that advantage over her if necessary.
Oh, no, no, pray.
Now, let us drop the subject.
One word, Miss Warren, I had better tell you. It's very difficult.
Here they are. Pardon, Mater. Mr. Prade's been waiting for you.
Well, if you've been waiting, Praddy, it's your own fault. Vivi, put your hat on, dear. You'll get sunburned. Oh, I forgot to introduce you, Sir George Crofts. My little Vivi.
May I shake hands with a young lady whom I have known by reputation very long as the daughter of one of my oldest friends?
If you like. Ooh. Well, shall I get a couple more chairs?
Well, George, what do you think of her?
She has a powerful fist. Did you shake hands with her, Prade?
Yes. It will pass off presently.
I hope so.
Oh, allow me.
Let Sir George help you with the chairs, dear. Oh,
here you are. Ow! You'd like some tea, wouldn't you?
I'm dying for a drop to drink.
I'll see about it.
Just look at him, Praddy. He looks cheerful, don't he? He's been worrying my life out these 3 years to have that little girl of mine shown to him, and now that I've done it, he's quite out of countenance.
I'm not sure from what I have seen of her that she is not older than any of us.
Only listen to him, George, older than any of us. Well, she has been stuffing you nicely with her importance.
My dear Kitty, treat her with every respect.
Respect? Treat my own daughter with respect? What next, pray?
Mother, will you come to my room before tea?
Yes, dearie. Don't be cross, Praddy.
I say, Prade.
Yes?
I want to ask you a rather particular question.
Certainly.
Look here. Did Kitty ever tell you who that girl's father is?
Never.
Have you any suspicion who it might be?
None.
I only say, if you know, you might at least set my mind at rest about her. The fact is, I feel attracted.
What do you mean?
Oh, don't be alarmed. It's quite an innocent feeling. That's what puzzles me about it. For all I know, I might be her father.
You? Impossible.
You know for certain that I'm not?
I know nothing about it, I tell you, any more than you.
I suppose she's not your daughter, is she?
Really? Croft?
No offence, Prade. Quite allowable as between two men of the world.
Now listen to me, my dear Crofts. I have nothing to do with that side of Mrs. Warren's life, and never had. You are probably on much more confidential terms with Kitty than I am. Surely you can ask her the question yourself.
Oh, I've asked her often enough. But she's so determined to keep the child all to herself that she would deny that it ever had a father if she could. I'm thoroughly uncomfortable about it, Prade.
Praddy! George!
She's calling us.
Yes.
Hello! Prade!
Why, Frank Gardner, what on earth are you doing here?
Staying with my father. He's rector here. Things came to a crisis in July. Father had to pay my debts. What are you up to in these parts? Do you know the people here?
Yes, I'm spending the day with a Miss Warren.
Do you know Vivi? Isn't she a jolly girl? I'm teaching her to shoot with this. I'm so glad she knows you. You're just the sort of fellow she ought to know. It's ever so jolly to find you here, Prade.
I'm an old friend of her mother. Mrs. Warren brought me over to make her daughter's acquaintance.
The mother? Is she here?
Yes, inside, at tea.
Praddy! The tea cake will be cold.
Yes, Mrs. Warren, in a moment. I've just met a friend here.
A what?
A friend!
Bring him in!
All right. Will you accept the invitation, Frank?
Is that Vivi's mother?
Yes.
By Jove! What a lark. Do you think she'll like me?
I've no doubt you'll make yourself popular, as usual. Come in and try.
Prade, what are you about? Do come along.
Hello. Sort of chap that would take a prize at a dog show, ain't he? Who's he?
Sir George Crofts, an old friend of Mrs. Warren's. I think we'd better go in.
Oh, all right.
Frank?
Hello. The Roman father.
Frank!
Yes, Governor, all right, presently. Look here, Prade, you'd better get into tea. I'll join you directly.
Very good.
Well, sir, who are your friends here, if I may ask?
No, it's all right, Governor, come in.
No, sir. Not until I know whose garden I am entering.
It's all right, it's Miss Warren's. I want to introduce you to her. Do you remember the advice you gave me last July, Governor?
What, sir?
That since I had neither brains nor money, I'd better turn my good looks to account by marrying somebody with both. Well, look here. Miss Warren has what amounts to a high Cambridge degree, and she seems to have as much money as she wants.
I greatly doubt if she has as much money as you will want.
Oh, come. I haven't been so very extravagant. And I never go regularly on the razzle-dazzle as you did when you were my age.
Silence,
well,
sir!
Well, you told me yourself that you once offered a woman £50 for the letters you wrote to her.
Frank, for heaven's sake. When I wrote those letters, I put myself into that woman's power. She refused my money with these words, which I shall never forget. Knowledge is power, she said, and I never sell power. That's more than 20 years ago, and she has never made use of her power to cause me a moment's uneasiness.
Did you ever preach at her the way you preach at me every day?
I leave you, sir. You are incorrigible.
Tell them I shan't be home to tea, will you, Governor, like a good fellow?
Is that your father, oh, Frank? I do so want to meet him.
Certainly. Governor, you're wanted. My father, Miss Warren.
You do?
Very glad to see you here, Mr. Gardiner. Mother, come along, you're wanted.
What, dearie?
Let me introduce you to
Why? It's Sam Gardiner. Gone into the church. Well, I never. Don't you know us, Sam? This is George Crofts, as large as life and twice as natural. Oh. Don't you remember me?
I really...
Oh, of course you do. Why, I have a whole album of your letters still. I came across them only the other day.
Miss Vavasor, I believe...
Shh, nonsense. Mrs. Warren. Don't you see my daughter there?
Oh, dear me.
Oh, Lord. I don't know which is the worst of the country, the walking or the sitting at home with nothing to do. I'd a good deal rather be in Vienna.
Let me take you there. It'd be ever such larks.
No, thank you. Vienna is no place for you. At least, not until you're a little older.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There, I shouldn't have done that. I am wicked. Never you mind, my dear. It's only a motherly kiss. Go and make love to Vivi.
So I have.
What?
My dear Mrs. Warren, don't you be alarmed. My intentions are honourable. And your little girl is jolly well able to take care of herself. She don't need looking after half so much as her mother. She ain't so handsome, you know.
Now, see here. I won't have any young scamp tampering with my little girl.
The gypsies, I suppose.
The broom squires,
shh,
the farmers.
Remember, you've had your warning.
And the perjury at the Winchester Assizes is deplorable.
Well, what became of you two? And where's Praddy and Vivi?
They went up the hill. We went to the village. I wanted a drink.
Oh, she oughtn't to go off like that without telling me. George, where are you going to stay tonight? You can't stay here. And what's Praddy going to do?
Gardener will put me up.
Oh, no doubt you've taken care of yourself, but what about Praddy?
Oh, I suppose he can sleep at the inn.
Haven't you room for him, Sam?
You see, as rector here, I'm not free to do as I like.
We can stick him in Georgina's old room.
Well, that's settled. Now, if those two will only come in and let us have supper. Oh, they've no right to stay out after dark like
Better
this.
Not wait for them, Mrs. Warren. Praed will stay out as long as possible. He has never known before what it is to stray over the heath on a summer night with my Vivi.
I say, you know, come.
Frank, once and for all, it is out of the question. Mrs. Warren will tell you that it is not to be thought of.
Of course not.
Why not? Isn't my daughter good enough for your son?
Oh, but surely, my dear Mrs. Warren, you know the reasons.
I know no reasons. If you know any, you can tell them to the lad or to the girl or to the congregation, if you like.
You know very well that I couldn't tell anyone the reasons.
You can't marry her, and that's all about it.
What have you got to do with it, pray?
Well, I suppose you don't want to marry the girl to a man younger than herself and without either a profession or tuppence to keep her on.
This is ever so mercenary. Do you suppose Miss Warren's going to marry for money? If we love one another...
Thank you. Your love's a pretty cheap commodity, my lad. If you have no means of keeping a wife, that settles it. You can't have Vivi.
Mrs. Warren, I cannot give my Vivi up, even for your sake.
Young scamp. Oh, wherever have you been, Vivi?
Mr. Praed and I have been on the hill.
Well, you shouldn't go off like that without letting me know. How could I tell what had become of you? And night coming on, too.
Now, about supper. We should be rather crowded in here, I'm afraid.
Did you hear what I said, Vivi?
Yes, Mother. How many are we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, two will have to wait until the rest are done. Mrs. Allison has only plates and knives for four. I want one person to wait with me. Frank, are you hungry?
Not the least in the world. Completely off my peck, in fact.
Mr. Gardner, will you take my mother in?
By all means.
Thank you so
Mrs.
much.
Warren.
Can you just squeeze past to that corner, Mr. Prade? It's rather a tight fit.
Yes.
Take care of your coat against the whitewash. That's right. Now, are you all comfortable?
Quite, thank you.
Got rid of him. Well, Bibbins, what do you think of my governor?
I've hardly spoken to him. He doesn't strike me as being a particularly able person.
Well, you know, the old man is not altogether such a fool as he looks. He means well.
What do you think of my mother?
Really and truly?
Yes, really and truly.
Well, she's ever so jolly, but she's rather a caution, isn't she? And Crofts! Oh, my eye, Crofts!
What a lot, Frank.
What a crew.
If I thought that I was like that I was going to be a waster shifting along from one meal to another with no purpose and no character, no
Vibram's
grit in me...
Vibrams mustn't lecture.
Be serious. I'm serious.
Good. Let us talk learnedly. Miss Warren, do you know that all the most advanced thinkers are agreed that half the diseases of modern civilization are due to the starvation of the affections of the young? Now, I...
You are very tiresome. Have you room for Frank in there? He's complaining of starvation.
Oh.
Of course there is. Here, room now, besides me. Come along, Mr. Frank.
Her little boy will be ever so even with his Vibbams for this.
Here, Vivi, come on. You too, child. You must be famished.
Oh, excuse me.
Why, George, you can't be done. You've eaten nothing. Is there anything wrong with you?
All I wanted was a drink.
Well, I like enough to eat, but a little of that cold beef and cheese and lettuce goes a long way.
What do you go encouraging that young pup for?
Now, see here, George. What are you up to about that girl? I've been watching your way of looking at her. Remember, I know you and what your looks mean.
You mayn't a man take an interest in a girl?
Not a man like you.
How old is she?
Never you mind how old she is.
A baronet isn't to be picked up every day. No other man in my position would put up with you for a mother-in-law. Why shouldn't she marry me?
You?
We three could live together quite comfortably. And if you want a check for yourself on the wedding day, you can name any figure you like, in reason.
So it's come to that with you, George, like all the other worn-out old creatures.
Damn you!
Well, dearie, have you had a good supper?
Oh, you know what Mrs. Allison's suppers are.
Hey, where's Sir George?
Gone out to have a pipe.
Frank, my boy, it is time for us to be thinking of home.
Take Prade home at once, Peter, and I'll stay here and entertain Mrs. Warren.
Come with us, Frank. Mrs. Warren has not seen Miss Vivi for a long time.
Of course, I forgot. Ever so thanks for reminding me. Perfect gentleman, Praddy, always were.
Good night.
Yes, good night. Good night, Miss Vivi.
Good night, Mr. Gardner.
Come along, sir, at once.
Bye-bye, Praddy.
Bye-bye, Kitty.
Good night, dear Mrs. Warren.
Good night. Isn't he a tease? Now that I think of it, dearie, don't you go encouraging him. I'm sure he's a regular good-for-nothing.
Yes, I'm afraid so. That man Crofts does not seem to me to be good for much either, is he?
What do you know of men, child, to talk that way about them? You'll have to make up your mind to see a good deal of Sir George Crofts, as he's a friend of mine.
Why? Do you expect that we should be much together? You and I mean?
Of course, until you're married.
Do you think my way of life would suit you? I doubt it.
What nonsense is this you're trying to talk? Your way of life will be what I please, so it will.
Really?
Do you know who you're speaking to, miss?
No. Who are you? What are you?
You young imp!
Everybody knows my reputation, my social standing and the profession I intend to pursue. I know nothing about you. What is that way of life which you invite me to share with you and Sir George Crofts, pray?
Take care. I shall do something I'll be sorry for after, and you too.
Well, let us drop the subject until you are better able to face it. You want some good walks and a little lawn tennis to set you up, Mother. You're shockingly out of condition.
Oh, no, Vivi.
Now, pray, don't begin to cry. Anything but that, I really cannot stand whimpering.
Oh, my darling, how can you be so hard on me? Have I no rights over you as your mother?
Are you my mother?
Am I your mother?
Oh, Vivi!
Then where are our relatives? My father, our family friends? You claim the rights of a mother, the right to dictate my way of life. Before I give myself the trouble to resist such claims, I may as well find out whether they have any real existence.
Oh, no, no, stop, stop. I am your mother, I swear it. Oh, say you believe me.
Who was my father?
You don't know what you're asking. I can't tell you.
Oh, yes, you can, if you like. I have a right to know, and you know very well that I have that right. How can I feel sure that I may not have the contaminated blood of that brutal waster in my veins?
No, no. On my oath, it's not he, nor any of the rest that you've ever met. I'm certain of that, at least.
Oh, you are certain of that, at least? Oh, you mean that that is all you are certain of? Oh. I see. Don't do that, Mother. You know you don't feel it a bit. I think that is quite enough for tonight. What about bed? It's past 10.
What's the use of my going to bed? You think I could sleep?
Why not? I shall.
You? You've no heart. Oh, I won't bear it. I won't put up with the injustice of it. What right have you to set yourself up above me like this? You boast of what you are to me who gave you the chance of being what you are. What chance had I? Shame on you for a bad daughter and a stuck-up prude.
Don't think for a moment I set myself above you in any way. You attacked me with the conventional authority of a mother. I defended myself with the conventional superiority of a respectable woman. I shall always respect your right to your own opinions and your own way of life.
Do you think I was brought up like you, able to pick and choose my own way of life?
Everybody has some choice, Mother. And the people who get on in this world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want. And if they can't find them, they make them.
Oh, it's easy to talk. Very easy, isn't it? Here, would you like to know what my circumstances were?
Yes. You had better tell me.
Do you know what your grandmother was?
No.
No, you don't. I do. She called herself a widow and had a fried fish shop down by the Mint and kept herself and four daughters out of it. Two of us were sisters. That was me and Liz, and we were both good-looking and well-made. I suppose our father was a well-fed man. The other two were only half-sisters, undersized, ugly, starved-looking, hard-working, honest, poor creatures. They were the respectable ones. Well, what did they get by their respectability? I'll tell you. One of them worked in a white lead factory 12 hours a day for 9 shillings a week until she died of lead poisoning. The other was always held up to us as a model because she married a government labourer in the Deptford victualling yard and kept his room and 3 children neat and tidy on 18 shillings a week until he took to drink. That was worth being respectable for, wasn't it?
Did you and your sister think so?
Liz didn't, I tell you. She had more spirit. She went out one night and never came back. I was a waitress, and then I went to the bar at Waterloo Station, 14 hours a day for 4 shillings a week and my board. Well, one cold, wretched night when I was so tired I could hardly keep myself awake, who should come up for half of scotch but Lizzie? In a long fur cloak, elegant and comfortable, with a lot of sovereigns in her purse.
My Aunt Lizzie.
Yes, and a very good aunt to have, too. She's living down at Winchester now, close to the cathedral, one of the most respectable ladies there. When she saw I'd grown up good-looking, she said to me across the bar, "What are you doing there, you little fool, wearing out your health and your appearance for other people's profit?" Liz was saving money then to take a house for herself in Brussels, and she thought we two could save faster than one. I went into business with her as a partner. Why shouldn't I have done it? The house in Brussels was real high class, a much better place for a woman to be in than the factory where Anne Jane got poisoned.
But why did you choose that business? Saving money and good management will succeed in any business.
Yes, saving money. But where can a woman get the money to save in any other business? Neither Liz nor I had anything but our appearance and a turn for pleasing men.
Come now, Mother, frankly, isn't it part of a woman's character that she should greatly dislike such a way of making money?
Why, of course. I'm sure I've often pitied a poor girl, tired out and in low spirits, having to try to please some half-drunken fool that thinks he's making himself agreeable, when he's teasing and worrying and disgusting a woman so that hardly any money could pay her for putting up with it.
Still, you consider it worthwhile. It pays.
It can't be right, Vivi, that there shouldn't be better opportunities for women. I stick to that. It's wrong, but it's so, right or wrong. And a girl must make the best of it. But, of course, it's not worthwhile for a lady. If you took to it, you'd be a fool, but I should have been a fool if I'd taken to anything else.
Mother, suppose we were both as poor as you were in those wretched old days. Are you quite sure that you wouldn't advise me to try the Waterloo Bar, or marry a labourer, or even go into the factory?
Of course not. The only way for a woman to provide for herself decently is for her to be good to some man that can afford to be good to her. If she's in his own station of life, let her make him marry her. But if she's far beneath him, she can't expect it. Why should she? It wouldn't be for her own happiness. Ask any lady in London society that has daughters, and she'll tell you the same, except that I tell you straight and she'll tell you crooked. That's all the difference.
My dear mother, you are a wonderful woman. You are stronger than all England. And are you really and truly not one wee bit doubtful or ashamed?
Well, of course, dearie, it's only good manners to be ashamed of it. It's expected from a woman. But if people arrange the world that way for women, there's no good pretending it's arranged the other way. I consider I had a right to be proud of how we managed everything so respectably, and how the girls were so well taken care of. Some of them did very well. One of them married an ambassador.
Oh, dear.
I do believe I'm getting sleepy after all.
I believe it is I who will not be able to sleep now. You have got completely the better of me tonight, though I intended it to be the other way.
So it has been the other way. I always got the worst of it from Liz, and now I suppose it'll be the same with you.
Well, never mind. Let us be good friends now. Come, dear old mother.
I brought you up well, didn't I, dearie?
You did.
And you'll be good to your poor old mother for it, won't you?
I will, dear.
Blessings on my own, dearie. Darling, a mother's blessings.
Oh, 11:30. Nice hour for a rector to come down to breakfast.
Don't mock, Frank. Don't mock. I am a little...
off colour?
No, sir. Unwell this morning. Where's your mother?
Gone to town by the 11:13 with Bessie.
Where is Mr. Prade?
He is driving my mother and Bessie to the station.
Is Crofts up yet?
Long ago. He hasn't turned a hair. He's in much better practice than you.
Frank.
Yeah?
Do you think the Warrens will expect to be asked here after yesterday afternoon?
They've been asked already.
What?
Crofts informed us at breakfast that you told him to bring Mrs. Warren and Vivi over here today and to invite them to make this house their home. My mother then found she must go to town by the 11:13 train.
I never gave any such invitation. I never thought of such a thing.
How do you know, Governor, what you said and thought last night?
Well,
good morning.
Good morning. I must apologise for not having met you at breakfast. I have a touch of...
Clergyman's sore throat, Prade. Fortunately not chronic.
Well, I must say your house is in a charming spot here. Really, most charming.
Yes, it is indeed. Frank will take you for a walk, Mr. Prade, if you like. I'll ask you to excuse me.
I must take the opportunity to write my sermon while Mrs. Gardner is away and you are all amusing yourselves. You won't mind, will you?
Certainly not. Don't stand on the slightest ceremony with me.
Thank you.
Curious thing it must be to be writing a sermon every week.
Ever so curious if he did. He buys them. He's gone for some soda water.
My dear boy, I wish you would be more respectful to your father.
My dear Praddy, you forget that I have to live with the governor. Just imagine his telling Crofts to bring the Warrens over here. He must have been ever so drunk. You know, my dear Praddy, my mother wouldn't stand Mrs. Warren for a moment. Vivi mustn't come here until she's gone back to town.
But your mother doesn't know anything about Mrs. Warren, does she?
I don't know. Her journey to town looks as if she did, so...
Frank!
Willow?
Frank, Mrs. Warren and her daughter are coming across the heath with Crofts. What am I to say about your mother?
Stick on your hat and go and say how delighted you are to see them, and that Frank's in the garden, and that Mother and Bessie have been called to the bedside of a sick relative, and we're ever so sorry they couldn't stop. And leave the rest to Providence.
Providence? Mm. But how are we to get rid of them afterwards?
There's no time for that. Now, off with you. Praed and I will wait here to give the thing an unpremeditated air. Hmm? We must get the old girl back to town somehow, Praed. Come. Honestly, dear Praddy, do you like seeing them together?
Why not?
Oh, didn't it make your flesh creep ever so little? That wicked old devil up to every villainy under the sun, I'll swear. And Vivi.
Praed, they're coming.
Look. She actually has her arm round the old woman's waist.
There we are. Now, please go in.
Hello, Vivi.
Frank?
Ever so delighted to see you, Mrs. Warren. This quiet old rectory garden becomes you perfectly.
Well, I never. Did you hear that, George?
The young devil.
Now, look here. Let's have a treat before luncheon. First, let's see the church. Everyone has to do that. It's a regular old 13th century church, you know. Praed will be able to show you its points.
Certainly, I should be pleased to.
Oh, come along and get it over.
No, I've no objection.
No, no, not that way. We go through the fields, if you don't mind. Now, that's right, round here.
All right.
Ain't you coming, Vivi?
No, Frank, I want to give you a warning. You were making fun of my mother just now when you said that about the rectory garden. That is barred in future. Please treat my mother with as much respect as you treat your own.
My dear Vivi, she wouldn't appreciate it. The two cases require different treatment. But what on earth has happened to you? Last night we were perfectly agreed as to your mother and her set.
Yes, Frank. There has been a change. Yesterday I was a little prig.
And today?
Today I know my mother better than you do.
Heaven forbid.
If you knew the circumstances against which my mother had to struggle...
I should know why she is what she is, shouldn't I? Well, what difference would that make? Circumstances or no circumstances, Viv, you won't be able to stand your mother.
Why not?
Because she's an old wretch, Viv. She may be a good sort, but she's a bad lot, a very bad lot.
Frank, I... Is she to be deserted by all the world because she's what you call a bad lot?
No fear of that, Viv. She won't ever be deserted.
But I am to desert her, I suppose.
Oh, mustn't go live with her. A little family group of mother and daughter wouldn't be a success. Spoil our little group.
What little group?
Babes in the Wood. Vivi and a little Frank. Let's go and get covered up with leaves.
Fast asleep, hand in hand, under the trees. Oh, what a pair of fools we are.
No.
Come, Frank, sit up.
Oh. Oh,
gracious, your hair. I wonder, do all grown-up people play in that childish way when nobody's looking? I never did it when I was a child.
Neither did I. You were my first playmate. Oh, damn.
Why damn, dear?
Shh. Here's this brute Crofts.
Could I have a few words with you, Miss Vivi?
Certainly.
You'll excuse me, Gardner.
Hmm?
They're waiting for you in the church, if you don't mind.
Oh. Anything to oblige you, Crofts, except church. If you should happen to want me, Vivums, ring the gate bell.
Hmm.
Pleasant young fellow, that, Miss Vivi. Pity he has no money, isn't it?
I realise his disadvantages, Sir George.
Oh, no, it's not that, but, well, while we're in this world, we're in it. And money's money. Nice day, isn't it?
Very.
Yes, well, that's not what I came to say. Now listen, Miss Vivie. I'm quite aware that I'm not a young ladies' man.
Indeed, Sir George.
But when I say a thing, I mean it. When I feel a sentiment, I feel it in earnest. And what I value, I pay hard money for. That's the sort of man I am.
It's very kind of you to tell me all this.
Oh, well, come, Miss Vivie. You needn't pretend you don't know what I'm driving at. I want to settle down with a lady, Crofts. I suppose you think me very blunt, eh?
Not at all. I am much obliged to you for being so definite and businesslike. I quite appreciate the offer, but I think I will say no, if you don't mind. I'd rather not.
I shan't live forever, and I'll take care that you shall be well off when I'm gone.
I am proof against even that inducement, Sir George. Don't you think you'd better take your answer? There's not the slightest chance of my altering it.
Well, no matter. I could tell you some things that would change your mind fast enough, but I won't, because I'd rather win you by honest affection. I was a good friend to your mother. Ask her whether I wasn't. She'd never have made the money that paid for your education if it hadn't been for my advice and help, not to mention the money I advanced her. I put not less than £40,000 into it from first to last.
Do you mean to say that you were my mother's business partner?
Yes. Now, just think of all the trouble and the explanations it would save if we were to keep it, well, keep the whole thing in the family, so to speak.
I see no difficulty, since I understand that the business is wound up and the money invested.
Wound up? Wind up a business that's paying 35% in the worst years? Not likely. Who told you that?
Do you mean that it is still... What business are you talking about?
Well, the fact is, it's not what would be considered exactly a high-class business in my set. The county set, you know. Not that there's any mystery about it, don't think that. I don't know whether you found in travelling how hard it is to find a really comfortable private hotel.
Yes.
Well, that's all it is. Your mother has a genius for managing such things. We've got two in Brussels, one in Ostend, one in Vienna, and two in Budapest.
Take care. I know what this business is.
What? Who told you?
Your partner, my mother.
The whole?
Just so.
She ought to have had more consideration for you. I'd never have told you.
Oh, I think you probably would have told me when we were married. It would have been a convenient weapon to break me in with.
Why, I never intended that. On my word as a gentleman, I didn't.
It does not matter. I suppose you understand that when we leave here today, our acquaintance ceases.
Why? Is it for helping your mother?
My mother was a very poor woman who had no reasonable choice but to do as she did. You were a rich gentleman, and you did the same for the sake of 35%. You are a pretty common sort of scoundrel, I think. That is my opinion of you.
Go on, little missy, go it. It doesn't hurt me, and it amuses you. Why the devil shouldn't I invest my money in that way? Do you remember your Crofts scholarship at Newnham? Well, that was founded by my brother, the MP. He gets his 22% out of a factory with 600 girls in it, and not one of them getting wages enough to live on. If you're going to pick and choose your acquaintances on moral principles, you'd better clear out of this country, unless you want to cut yourself out of all decent society.
You might go on to point out that I myself never asked where the money I spent came from. I believe that I'm just as bad as you.
Of course you are. And a very good thing, too. What harm does it do, after all? So, you don't think me such a scoundrel now you come to think it over, eh?
I hardly find you worth thinking about at all now. When I think of how helpless 9 out of 10 young girls would be in the hands of you and my mother, that unmentionable woman and her capitalist bully...
Damn you!
You need not. I feel among the damned already.
Do you think I'll put up with this from you, you young devil?
Be quiet. Someone will answer the bell.
Will you have the rifle, Viv, or shall I operate?
Frank, have you been listening?
Only for the bell, I assure you, so that you shouldn't have to wait. I think I showed great insight into your character, Crofts.
Put the rifle away, Frank. It's quite unnecessary.
Quite right, Viv. Much more sportsmen like to catch him in a trap.
What?
Crofts, there are 15 cartridges in this magazine here, and I'm a dead shot at the present distance.
I'll just tell you this before I go. It may interest you, since you're so fond of one another. Allow me, Mr. Frank, to introduce you to your half-sister, the eldest daughter of the Reverend Samuel Gardner. Miss Vivi, your half-brother.
Good morning.
Don't be so easy, dear Viv. Remember, even if the rifle scared that fellow into telling the truth for the first time in his life, that only makes us the babes in the wood in earnest. Come and be covered up with leaves again.
Oh, no, no, not that. You make all my flesh creep.
Why, what's the matter?
Goodbye, Frank.
Stop. But Viv, where are you going to? Where should we find you?
At Honoria Fraser's chambers, 67 Chancery Lane. For the rest of my life.
Come in, it's not locked.
What are you doing here?
Waiting to see you. I've been here for hours.
What have you come for?
Well, I want to know what you've done, what arrangements you've made.
Everything was settled 20 minutes after I arrived here. Honoria was on the point of sending for me and proposing a partnership when I walked in. What happened at Hazelmere when I left?
Nothing at all. I said you'd gone to town on particular business.
Well?
Well, either they were too flabbergasted to say anything, or else Crofts had prepared your mother. Anyhow, she didn't say anything, and Crofts didn't say anything, and Praddy only stared, and after tea they got up and went. I've not seen them since.
That's all right.
You remember what Crofts said?
Yes.
That revelation was supposed to bring about a complete change in the nature of our feeling for one another. It placed us on the footing of brother and sister.
I think brother and sister would be a very suitable relation for us.
You really mean that?
Yes. It's the only relation I care for, even if we could afford any other.
I see I am no longer Vivem's little boy. Don't be alarmed. I shall never call you Vivems again. I curse upon yon caller, whoe'er he be.
It's Praed. He's going to Italy and wants to say goodbye. I asked him to call this afternoon. Go and let him in.
Well, we can continue our conversation after his departure for Italy. I'll stay him out.
How are you, Praed? Delighted to see you come in.
How do you do, Miss Warren?
Mr. Praed.
I start in an hour from Holborn Viaduct. I wish I could persuade you to try Italy.
What for?
Why, to saturate yourself with beauty and romance, of course. You could come with me to Verona and on to Venice. Why, your spirits would absolutely fly up at the mere sight of Ostend. You would be charmed with the gaiety, the vivacity, the happy air of Brussels.
No!
What's the matter?
Can you find no better example of your beauty and romance than Brussels to talk to me about?
Of course, it's very different from Verona. I don't suggest for a moment that...
There are two subjects I want dropped, if you don't mind. One of them is love's young dream in any shape or form. The other is the romance and beauty of life, especially Ostend and the gaiety of Brussels. You are welcome to any illusions you may have left on these subjects. I have none. If we three are to remain friends, I must be treated as a woman of business, permanently single and permanently unromantic.
I also shall remain permanently single until you change your mind. Pray, change the subject. Be eloquent about something else.
My dear Frank, aren't you a little unsympathetic?
No, it's good for me. It keeps me from being sentimental.
Yeah, it checks your strong natural propensity that way.
Oh, yes, yes, go on, don't spare me. I was sentimental for one moment in my life, beautifully sentimental by moonlight. And now...
Say, Viv, take care, don't give yourself away.
Oh, do you think Mr. Praed does not know all about my mother? You'd better have told me that morning, Mr. Praed. You are very old-fashioned in your delicacies, after all.
Surely it is you who are a little old-fashioned in your prejudices, Miss Warren. Though I know that your mother is an unmarried woman, I do not respect her the less on that account. I respect her more.
Hear, hear.
Is that all you know?
Certainly that is all.
Then you neither of you know anything. Your guesses are innocence itself compared to the truth.
I hope not. I hope not, Miss Warren.
You are not making it easy for me to tell you, Mr. Praed.
If there is anything worse, that is anything else, are you sure you are right to tell us, Miss Warren?
There is nothing I despise more than the wicked convention that protects these things by forbidding a woman to mention them, and yet I can't tell you. The two infamous words that describe what my mother is are ringing in my ears and struggling on my tongue, but I can't utter them. The shame of them is too horrible for me. Here, let me draft you a prospectus.
Oh, she's mad. Do you hear, Viv? Mad. Come on, pull yourself together.
You shall see. Paid up capital. Not less than £40,000, standing in the name of Sir George Crofts, Baronet, the chief shareholder. Premises at Brussels, Ostend, Vienna, and Budapest. Managing director, Mrs. Warren. And now, don't let us forget her qualifications. The two words. There. Oh, no, don't! Don't read it, don't!
Oh, Viv, dear. It's all right. I read what you wrote, so did Praddy. We understand. And we remain, as this leaves us at present, yours ever so devotedly.
We do indeed, Miss Warren. I declare you are the most splendidly courageous woman I ever met.
I shall need much more courage than that when I tell my mother that we have come to the parting of the ways. Now I must go into the next room for a moment to make myself neat again, if you don't mind.
Shall we go away?
No, I'll be back presently.
What an amazing revelation.
What a facer for me, Praddy. I can't marry her now.
Frank, if you desert her now, you will behave very despicably.
Oh, good old Praddy. But you mistake. It's not the moral aspect of the case, it's the money aspect. I really can't bring myself to touch the old woman's money now.
And was that what you were going to marry on?
What else? I haven't any money, nor the smallest turn for making it. If I married Viv now, she would have to support me, and I should cost her more than I am worth. I shan't worry her about it. I'll just leave her a little note. She'll understand.
Good fellow, Frank. I heartily beg your pardon.
Oh, I wonder who this is. Would you mind opening the door? If it's a client, it will look more respectable than if I appeared.
Certainly. My dear Kitty, come in. Come in.
Thank you, Praddy. What? You're here, are you?
Here and charmed to see you. You come like a breath of spring.
Oh, get out of it with your nonsense. Where's Vivi?
In there.
Praddy, won't she see me, don't you think?
My dear Kitty, don't distress yourself. Why should she not?
Oh, you never can see why not. You're too innocent. Mr. Frank, Did she say anything to you?
She must see you if you wait till she comes in.
Why shouldn't I wait?
The fact
is... It's too late. She's coming.
Oh, don't tell her I was crying. Well, dearie, so here you are at last.
I am glad you've come. I want to speak to you. You said you were going, Frank, I think.
Yes. Will you come with me, Mrs. Warren?
I don't know. Perhaps I'd better go. We're disturbing you at your work.
Mr. Praed, please take Frank away. Sit down, Mother.
Come, Frank. Goodbye, Miss Vivi.
Goodbye. A pleasant trip.
Thank you. Thank you, I hope so.
Goodbye, Mrs. Warren. Bye-bye, Viv.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Kitty.
Goodbye. Well, Vivi, what did you go away for like that without saying a word to me? How could you do such a thing? Oh, Vivi. Vivi, what's the meaning of this?
It is my usual month's allowance. I simply sent it back. In future, I shall support myself.
Oh, wasn't it enough? Oh, I'll double it.
I was intending to double it. Only let me know how much you want.
You know very well that that has nothing to do with it. From this time, I go my own way in my own business and among my own friends, and you will go yours. Goodbye.
Goodbye?
Yes, goodbye. Come. Don't let us make a useless scene. You understand perfectly well. Sir George Crofts has told me the whole business.
Silly old...
Yes, just so.
Oh, he ought to have his tongue cut out. But you said you didn't mind.
Excuse me. I do mind.
But I explained.
You explained how it came about. You did not tell me that it is still going on.
Vivi, do you know how rich I am?
I have no doubt you are very rich.
But you don't know all that that means. You're too young. It means a new dress every day. It means having the pick of all the gentlemen in Europe at your feet. It means a lovely house and plenty of servants. It means everything you like, everything you want, everything you can think of. And what are you here? A mere drudge, toiling and moiling early and late for your bare living and two cheap dresses a year. Think over it. Well, you're shocked. I know. I can enter into your feelings, and I think they do you credit. I know what young girls are, and I know you'll think better of it when you've turned it over in your mind.
So that's how it's done, is it? You must have said all that to many a woman, Mother, to have it so pat.
But what harm am I asking you to do? Oh, Vivi, listen to me. You don't understand. You've been taught wrong on purpose. You don't know what the world is really like.
Taught wrong on purpose? What do you mean?
I mean that you're throwing away all your chances for nothing. What do people that taught you know about life or about people like me? Would they ever have done anything for you if I hadn't paid them? Haven't I told you that I want you to be respectable? And how can you keep it up without my money and my influence and Lizzie's friends? Can't you see that you're cutting your own throat as well as breaking my heart in turning your back on me?
Mother, you don't at all know the sort of person I am. I'm perfectly aware that if I'd been in the same circumstances as my Aunt Liz, I'd have done exactly what she did. I know very well that fashionable morality is all a pretense.
But if you...
Oh, wait a moment. I've not done. Tell me why you continue your business now that you are independent of it. Your sister, you told me, has left all that behind her. Why don't you do the same?
Oh, it's all very easy for Liz. She likes good society and has the air of being a lady. Now, I must have work and excitement, or I should go melancholy mad. And what else is there for me to do? But what need you know about it? I'll never mention it. I'll keep Crofts away. I'll not trouble you much. You'll be quit of me altogether when I die.
No, I am my mother's daughter. I am like you. I must have work and must make more money than I spend, but my work is not your work, and my way not your way. We must part.
Vivi, I meant to have been more with you. I did, indeed.
It's no use, Mother. I am not to be changed by a few cheap tears and entreaties any more than you are, I dare say.
Oh, you call a mother's tears cheap?
They cost you nothing. And you ask me to give you the peace and quietness of my whole life in exchange for them. What have we two in common that could make either of us happy together?
We're mother and daughter. I want my daughter. I've a right to you. Who's to care for me when I'm old? Plenty of girls have taken to me like daughters and cried at leaving me, but I let them go because I had you to look forward to. I kept myself lonely for you. You've no right to turn on me now and refuse to do your duty as a daughter.
My duty as a daughter? I thought we should come to that presently. Now, once for all, Mother, you want a daughter and Frank wants a wife. I don't want a mother and I don't want a husband. I have spared neither Frank nor myself in sending him about his business. Do you think I will spare you?
Oh, I know the sort you are. No mercy for yourself or anyone else, I know. My experience has done that for me anyhow. I can tell the pious, canting, hard, selfish woman when I meet her. Well, keep yourself to yourself. I don't want you, but... Listen to this. Do you know what I would do if you were a baby again? Aye, as sure as there's a heaven above us.
Strangle me, perhaps?
No. I bring you up to be a real daughter to me, and not what you are now with your pride and your prejudices. I'd bring you up in my own house, I would.
In one of your own houses?
Oh, listen to her! Listen to how she spits on her mother's grey hairs!
I wish you wouldn't rant, Mother. It only hardens me. Come... I suppose I am the only young woman you ever had in your power that you did good to. Don't spoil it all now.
Yes. Heaven forgive me, it's true. And you're the only one that ever turned on me. Oh, the injustice of it, the injustice. I always wanted to be a good woman. I tried honest work. And I was slave-driven until I cursed the day I ever heard of honest work. I was a good mother. And because I made my daughter a good woman, she turns me out as if I was a leper. From this time forth, so help me heaven in my last hour, I'll do wrong and nothing but wrong, and I'll prosper on it.
Yes, it's better to choose your line and go through with it. If I had been you, Mother, I might have done as you did. But I should not have lived one life and believed in another. You are a conventional woman at heart. That is why I'm bidding you goodbye now. I am right, am I not?
Right? To throw away all my money?
No. Right to get rid of you. I should be a fool not to, isn't that so?
Oh. Well, yes. If you come to that, I suppose you are. But Lord help the world if everybody took to doing the right thing. And now I better go, rather than stay where I'm not wanted.
Well, won't you shake hands?
No, thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Vivums. And goodbye, Frank.
In Mrs. Warren's Profession by George Bernard Shaw, Anna Massey was Mrs. Warren, Kim Braden, Vivi, Frederick Yeager, Sir George Crofts, Timothy Bateson, the Reverend Samuel Gardner, Anthony Daniels, Frank, and George Parsons, Praed. Technical presentation was by Chris Lewis. This was a BBC World Service drama production, directed by David Hitchinson.
Goodbye, Frank.